Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell or
hell. Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 3240. What's wrong with me? This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
Welcome to episode 3240.
He jumped a whole 100 episodes.
300.
God, that would be like two more years. Yeah.
300,240. Hell yes. Eternity, here I come.
We'll live forever as long as we keep recording episodes.
Doing this show for 2,000 years now. Still haven't met Kurt Russell.
He long dead by
he's
now.
He's only Kurt Russell's head now, babe.
Yeah,
he's
that's fucking, fine. That would count. Him,
yeah. He's a hella android by now.
That would count.
I think if you hit 15 years and he hasn't showed up, then
you just probably cut my losses.
Yeah. At some point,
never
his career will be
never
so fucked
up
that... You know,
well, I don't know. He just did that second Santa Claus movie, so I think it's he might be on the downward trajectory.
At some point, our trajectories will meet. Like we're like not raising very much, but as long as he keeps going down,
yeah, his stock would have to plummet to get to our level.
Nah, dude, he's a cool dude. Cool dudes are always on the level.
That's true.
So how's it going?
It's going.
If you notice, fellas and ladies out there listening, it's no longer an echoey mess in here.
Yeah,
we're back in the office, baby.
It's actually a little muffled. Kind of like it.
I love it.
Home feels, sweet home.
Yeah. We're back at home.
Feels homey.
Yeah, it really homey does, actually.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Christmas, dude? I want to talk about Christmas.
Yes.
You know what's
Christmas
tight?
Yes,
Patreon.com/ Who Goes There podcast.
Ooh,
people are
early
winning awesome stuff for Christmas because I love Christmas. I love giving away gifts.
They're
and
not
we
winning
are
the
giving
most
away
awesome thing because you had the best idea for the Christmas card literally 30 minutes after we took the Christmas
did
card photo. Anyways,
but we did curious give away two Terrifier steel books.
It's the best.
And, courtesy of Dread Central.
Yep, and Epic Pictures. And who knows what we'll give away the next 2 weeks, but it'll probably be something tight.
Hello, tight.
If you want to fucking hella wait for giveaways, there's always the Telluride.
Yeah.
In Colorado.
Telluride. It'll be in 10 months. Yeah. So.
I want to try and get to some LA conventions this year.
That's on the 2020
we're close
list. Is
maybe Portland, even if there's anything up there.
More conventions closer.
So, yeah, Patreon.
Yeah.
There's some stuff going on.
That's tight.
We got Christmas cards going out. We got hoodies going out.
Yep. We got
finally
some other.
Love the hoodie, by the way.
Some other sneak preview
nice
stuff.
One.
This it hoodie Ollie
like,
is wearing.
Yeah, I'm wearing it like every day.
It gets a lot of comments. People are like, who are those people?
Some chick at Starbucks. Today, my barista at Starbucks that took my order recognized my sticker of me on my water bottle.
Like,
she's like, is that a Junji Ito thing?
Oh,
like,
nice.
And I was like, kinda, yeah.
That's hella tight.
I thought she was like, oh my god, are you Alia?
Are you Alia from Who Goes There?
No. She did not recognize me. She recognized the art style.
I was wearing that hoodie
cool
at Home Depot the other day, and the guy who was ringing me out, he looked at the hoodie.
Oh, you mean Joseph Charlesworth, the guy who was ringing you out?
Yeah, I fucked that up too.
Yeah, you got rung out again
twice.
Oh, I saw that on the Patreon.
God, yeah. I saw that. Yeah,
saw.
But yeah, he looked at the hoodie, he looked at my face, looked at the hoodie, and I go, yeah, it's me. I know
you're
it's
too dead
I go,
on, dude.
It's a stupid joke, and he's like, no, it's pretty cool, dude. I go, no, it's not. It's not cool at all. But thank you for being nice.
That's great. Cal did a wonderful job.
He
Cal
did,
always
man
does
at
a
least
wonderful
you said
job
thank you, Jesus Christ. He's giving you a compliment.
No, I know. I'm always sheepish about that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now but people are gonna start recognizing.
Make it easy
it's,
for
dude,
yourself.
It's never
just
not
say
weird
thank you.
Nope.
It's never not weird. Like
never not.
Chris Cooper gave me the weirdest experience of my life, recognizing me by my voice in Telluride, Colorado. That was really fucking weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
But also but you fucking
it's really
inflated
cool,
his ego a little bit. And that's always good for
oh,
them.
Dude,
they need it.
That he says weird,
they need
he
their
means
ego strengthened.
It's never not amazing.
They're always pretty close.
It's always great.
It's never not lubricating my cock when
it
they
definitely
recognize
stroked
me
the fuck out of my ego.
There it is.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it's weird. Yeah.
But honestly, guys don't get enough compliments. And
this is true.
And
yeah. Tell me I'm fucking
life
pretty. God
right
damn it.
Actually, you do get a lot of compliments at work.
I'm fucking pretty, dude.
The women are not shy about giving you compliments at work. Men, too. Neither are the men, yeah.
Like, all the compliments on my hair come from dudes. It's weird.
Well.
There's a Russian dude that almost ran into me, and he goes, whoa, you have really pretty hair. And I was like, oh, cool, thanks.
He thought you were a lady for a second.
I guess so.
Yeah, he's just like, whoa.
He's like, the bearded lady. Excuse me. Oh, no, it's a dude.
Bro.
Oh, wow.
In Russia, there's a lot of bearded women, so there you go.
I don't, you know. We don't. I don't think we have any listeners in Russia, but you know,
I don't know. We might have some Russian
listeners. Anywho, have you seen anything, Matthew, or played anything of note?
I've been playing Sunless Sea still.
Okay,
that's it. I've been playing a little bit of Dead by Daylight. I've been playing with the new. I am streaming Sunless Sea.
Stream that campaign because it goes together.
I'm going to try and stream it. Again tomorrow morning, Captain Rhett is still alive.
Oh, wow. You mean Captain Rhett?
Yeah.
Shut up.
He mentioned this last week. He's like almost surely gonna die. So it's
well, it's because
I mean,
like
it's not your fault, honestly. That game is fucking tough.
Well, and it's one of those games where it's like
you can't play that game without.
You
dying.
Have to play that's multiple right. times, like, and then the captain when you die, the captain who takes your spot,
speaking my language,
gets like either your map or like a percentage of your gold
they
or
pick
one
up
of
where
your,
you left off.
Kind of, yeah. So like
barely,
you're almost like guaranteed to die. And so I was like, okay. Okay, well, Rhett, here you go. And he has to stop by and visit Sophia every now and again.
First carrier of Sophia. The torch.
There it is.
As far as
get that one out of the way.
Well, no, I got to say it again later.
So let's see. What did I watch? Because I'm trying to do my end of the year binge.
You tend to do this.
Well, I have to because there's so many movies that come out. And how am I going to put together a best of list if there's like 40 huge titles that I haven't seen?
He loves
there's
celebrating
a shitload of stuff
too.
That we that I haven't
I do.
Seen. Also.
I love celebrating things. The first movie I'm going to talk about is the movie we're supposed to do this week, and it's The Nightingale.
Okay, so I had to put a I had to squash this.
That's why I should have fucking asked if she liked it.
I mean, she didn't like it. She said it was hard to watch. But
that means
like,
it's
for
good.
For different
did,
reasons.
Yeah,
that means
was,
it's fucking extremely
it was,
good.
I loved it, but it was
the
hard
moment
to watch.
That you said, well, I don't know if this is a hard... I go, okay, well, fuck it. Skip it.
We don't want to
I said I would do it, but like the more I sat on it, I'm like, this movie was just really fucking boring. Like
it wasn't boring, but it was hard.
It was...
Watch.
You take...
You haven't even said the title.
The Nightingale. Billy? I did say that. I did say
did you?
Title.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like they took one part rape revenge, so like they copy-pasted I Spit on Your Grave.
I did hate that.
And then they copy-pasted like culture clash with rape with like Cannibal Holocaust, put them together, and then the middle was just like a boring-ass Western where it's a bunch of traveling and...
So you need a more creative premise.
It was...
Yeah,
it was
you need some more
you need like
premise.
A hockey mask at Crystal Lake, is what you're saying.
I honestly, like...
He needs a guy who drives a truck.
Let me give him a little bit of, like... I think it was a little too... It took a turn for the fucking, like, character development for him. Like, that surprised him. But I also want to say that I think it influenced him that I was watching it with him. And he could tell that I was, like...
Super into it?
Not super into it, like that I was like disassociating a little bit, like
when the rapes come up,
comfortable viewing experience. Mm,
yeah.
And so I think that like when he sees
he empathized and detached himself a little
bit. That like he doesn't like seeing me upset. So like anytime it's upsetting to me like something, then he won't like probably won't like it.
So like rape revenge stuff too, like that kind of instantly like that puts you on guard, right?
It puts me on guard, yeah.
Well, it depends on the context in which it's done. Like she's watched revenge countless times.
I watched it a couple times.
So yeah, like she really likes revenge because it's a really well done movie.
No more than one time. Yeah, no. But like, anything, pretty much do. Anything yeah. that like a clip of that movie is possibly will end up on Pornhub. I'm not down.
Right.
Well, and this movie definitely had that.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. I see what you mean when it over like grand over aggrandizes rape.
Yeah,
that's when it
and it
yeah,
uses
yeah, yeah.
it as like a you know basically
when
a central
graphic,
point for motivating
when it's graphic
the plot
or long or like there's a like
it's unnecessary.
It lasts a long time, you know.
Well,
you know,
I will like, not that it matters it per se. I haven't seen the film, but for what it's worth, it's a female director.
For me, yeah, right. I know that, and I knew that, and that's what kind of threw me off even. But right. like, but still, I found it really hard to watch.
Well, see, and my thought of the whole thing was Jennifer Kent, who did The Babadook. I think she got a bunch of goodwill with The Babadook.
Women can be fucking wrong, too,
and
okay?
And she wanted to do...
Oh,
like
of course. I'm not saying
she wanted
otherwise,
to do like a period passion piece,
when,
you know? And I feel like the studio
revenge,
was like, no, you need to do a horror movie. And yeah. so she like took these tiny little elements to say it's a horror.
Well, movie. one of the snippets I read was that she's subverted sophomore expectations with her sophomore film.
Ooh.
So I love that they said but that I mean, she subverted expectations. Right? Yeah, because it's not a direct horror film,
well,
right?
Because I still, it pulled at my heartstrings still, you know, like I still like at some point got super involved and I, and you know, like.
So it's well executed, yeah. you'd say. Mm. Yeah.
You just, I think you get a little, like you identify a little.
I don't like, yeah, and what? I just like, honestly, like just don't like watching all that. Like lately, I don't know, pretty much like in my late 20s, early 30s, I kind of just got over the fucking like the appeal of like actually seeing something like that for the right. first time. Like when I was a kid, I remember like first time on the internet, like I loved that kind of like violence and gore and stuff like that for the sake of it. But like now, I don't think so.
Well,
it makes me anxious.
It's colonial Australia, it's set. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before, and I don't want to like, ugh, but when you have a rape scene that is, and I hate to fucking say it like this, but that is like artfully and tastefully done,
mm-hmm.
it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
But right. when you have one that's like overly and raw,
the thing is, something can even be artful if it's overly raw.
We'll see, and like with revenge,
but I think it's just like
my favorite rape scene is easily when the bear fucks DiCaprio.
That is,
like I've mentioned it before, I'll say it again. I mean, when he fucks DiCaprio,
I mean, you never stop talking about it. Like whenever we see you, you're like, yo, bros. When that bear fucks DiCaprio, is it not the best?
Yeah, it's like we're not even talking about that, dude. We're talking about Stephen King. It's like, yeah, when that bear fucks DiCaprio.
Okay.
Actually, that's a perfect analog for when the bear fucks DiCaprio.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to give some levity in there for a second. But, well, it sounds like it's a movie that...
That's why he didn't use the R word.
Yeah. I want to watch it because I think we should probably. I want to weigh in on it for the.
I feel like you would probably. I feel like you would probably like it, but
The Nightingale.
Yeah.
For me, there's just like a big chunk in the middle where there's nothing.
As a film, like as a film buff in general, I'd like to see what her follow up is to Babadook. I like the Babadook.
I like
a
lot.
I personally think Babadook was much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Babadook a lot too.
That doesn't. That doesn't bode well at all.
I got really attached, for what it's worth. I got really attached to the characters in The Nightingale. Like, super, super, super attached.
What's the major thesis, I guess you'd say, that violence begets violence, and so she goes out. I mean, she goes out on a crusade for revenge, and that probably doesn't go well, right?
I mean, it feels...
Racism, she becomes a monster herself, bad.
All that good stuff.
It feels like the not really. The thesis nope. is hell okay. hath no fury like a woman scorned. That's it.
For Sega? That's from Mallrats, but
right, gotcha.
Hella tight.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Speaking of
Mallrats, go for it.
What? So, did you have something to finish up with Nightingale?
Yeah.
Nightingale, no.
Okay. So, I went to go watch with Brian Osmond and Jax. I went to go watch...
Jay and Silent Bob.
Jay and Silent Bob, the reboot. Yeah, okay. First off,
that's a clever name, dude.
I want to say this. I think Kevin Smith is hyper passionate.
Unless they're like bad 3D gendered. I mean, 3D rendered.
He's like really passionate about everything he does, and it feels like everything he does, he pours his heart into. And I feel bad for saying this, but boy, is that movie a fucking mess.
Really?
It's not good.
That's kind of sad. It feels like he's kind of lost touch over the last decade 20 and a years. Half.
I think podcasting has definitely like skewed his view. I get it.
Imagine that.
It's not a good movie, dude. And it's not even good. It's not even bad in the view askew kind of way where you're like, oh, they're kind of being funny. He just sort of pulled all of the goodwill he could after having his heart attack, and he says it himself. Where, you know, he was like, hey, man, I survived a heart attack. You want to be in my movie? And everybody was like, oh, sure.
Yeah.
And it's cameo. It's like cameo after cameo.
Look
after
at all
cameo.
My friends.
Oh, and man. It is, that sounds like that fucking crazy, like, comic I drew when I was a fucking, like, 9 year old.
And, like, Ben Affleck is in the film.
Of course.
And, well, say of course, but they haven't talked in over a decade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, they've had zero communication.
Well, Affleck's going through a rough patch again.
Yeah. So, as always. So, yeah, unless you're, like, hardcore Case Smith fan.
Is this movie good on weed?
No.
No?
No.
Damn.
Well, and it sounds like it would be very forced. Like, I would imagine all of it's very forced stuff.
And you kind of have to know all of the jokes, like all of them, for you to be able to like have any laughs.
It's all callbacks.
It's all callbacks. There's like a little
callbacks
girl.
Are automatically funny because they're referencing something else.
Kind of
fucking
rude to put it in a movie theater.
I mean, he knew. I mean, so this road show that he was doing, which is what we did, was him touring around America.
Okay.
People specifically going to see the movie Kevin Smith fans. So
and
we all
$70 dudes.
We got it. Like, we get the jokes, and it's fine. But like, there's a little girl named Amy, and of course, it's in reference to Chasing Amy.
That's
and,
like the one I haven't
this
seen.
This creative.
Yeah,
the same
it's not good. I don't recommend it unless you're like a completionist of fucking Jay.
If you haven't seen Chasing Amy, I do recommend that.
I think that's the one. Well, that and Jersey Girl, I haven't seen.
Girl can go fuck itself.
Thanks to Brian for inviting me out on that one. Other than that, not a good film. Alia?
No.
Anything you've seen?
Probably not. If I thought I had to, I'm not prepared. I should have came prepared. I always say that. But
look, you're here.
Just do it.
That's all the preparation we need.
I finally got a good night's sleep, and then I had work again today, and I'm tired again.
Riggedy Rhett.
Hey, how you been?
How you doing?
I saw Ford versus Ferrari. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yes.
No.
It's fucking... I'm not a car guy, but this is the director of Logan and Walk the Line.
I mean, shit, you only started driving like a year and a half ago.
Yeah. 27, when I was 27, folks. Yeah, don't... Watch out. But it was... it's really fucking good. It's with Christian Bale and Matt Damon, and it's about...
Yeah.
It's in the 60s, and it's I'm not a car guy, like I said, but it's about friggin' Ford
cars.
Has 3 months. Well, it's not about cars. It's about two guys that are outside, out-of-the-box thinkers that are hired by a corporate fucking structure to do something, which is catch up to Ferrari in 3 months because the fucking guy gets slighted. So because his ego's bruised at Ford, he hires these fucking, like, these mastermind guys. And then they hire them to do the fucking job. And at every turn, they fucking try to subvert what they're doing because, oh, this isn't the Ford way. This isn't the Ford way. So it's about two out-of-the-box thinkers that are trying to fucking do something remarkable within a fucking corporate structure and getting blocked at every turn. But then they end up pulling it off, and it's never been repeated since. So only on the surface is about fucking cars.
Yeah.
It's about the process of doing all that shit.
It's
if it was about cars, I mean, I wouldn't fucking like it.
It's mostly because, so you know, like the whole idea behind like American muscle cars is that like they just slap big engines on big steel frames.
Sure.
Right.
And so like the solution to the Ferrari speed, where they, you know, built light frame cars and aerodynamic, they were like, put a fucking big engine in it and call it a muscle car.
Yep.
Like, that was the solution.
And Ferrari's over there. See, I didn't know all this stuff. Like, Ferrari was more like a fucking auteur. He was like, he's chasing perfection. So he went bankrupt trying to make the perfect car, and they got there, basically. And so it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome, actually, because then they go over to Ferrari to try to buy him out. And he's fucking, like, I don't speak Italian, but he says some mean fucking shit to him. And it's pretty
he goes,
cool.
Figlio de puttana.
He says puttana. Yeah, he says that. I'm like, oh, shit.
Pezzo de merda.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a really entertaining
Do you know
movie.
That the only Italian I know?
Yeah.
Do you know where it's from?
It's from the Tool album.
It is from the Tool album, yeah.
See, when he said puttana, that's why I knew. I was like,
you were like, oh,
oh,
he's calling him a...
Anyway, very entertaining film. I also went to a concert. I saw... Show Me the Body, and I saw The Health, and I saw Daughters, and they played together, and it was fucking awesome.
Show Me the Body, I think I've heard of before.
They have been around maybe the last 3 or 4 years. They have their 2 albums in. They had a new album this year called Dog Whistle. Genre wise, I'd say.
Can we even listen to it?
Yeah, you could. You listened to it. I showed you a little bit of this one last time, and you didn't. Yeah, you got. Come on, look at them. Listeners, they're fucking conspiring against me over here. We can all listen to Enigma is the good
It's a
thing.
Frequency joke.
That's right. I'd say they're kind of like, well, it is hardcore punk, but it's also got some industrial hip-hop influence. It's kind of a good, it's a good meeting point of several things.
Hella tight.
It is hella tight, because they're, and they're from New York.
We're in this place, like, in music. Almost anything that you're, like, hype about is, like, that description fits.
Which one?
It's a meeting point of a fuckload of different things.
Oh, sure. Well, it should, to me, it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the idea.
That's the point of art, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like
manufacturing,
but then, the you past know,
into new creativity.
When yeah. something oh, yeah. when something comes out, though, and it's just like, well, it's just pure rock and roll. It's like, well, that doesn't mean it's bad, but yeah. The majority of that stuff I end up being
dated.
Yeah, I don't see really anything new being done there, which is, you could say, well, what's wrong with that? But
purebreds are old news. Give me a fucking designer.
Hell yeah.
Well, rock and roll itself was fucking R&B with country music. So
or mutt now.
Yep, all mutts all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Birdie should
oh, be Health, designer. By the way.
Jindo fucking Malinois should be a designer breed.
The band Health, their fucking show... do you guys like Health
it's
at all?
It's bonkers, right?
Like it's the, fucking their crazy. Their live show is like ridiculous. They had these digital... Yeah. It's very minimal. They just had these digital lights. And it's not colored. It was just white. But they would pulse, like, synchronize with certain parts of the music. And they have this one song that's super fucking minimal. But it's like this dirge. And it like... You know the vocals for Health, they're like,
well,
really...
if you can manage to merge like visuals with audio, like that, yeah. Like...
by the end of the fucking
fucks
song,
your brain a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Your central nervous system was fucked by the end of that song. Because and also like
you're
you know
like
what?
Endorphins tapped.
You know when like it's a dark room and they turn a light on and off and then you can see the light coming to your eye.
Yeah,
this did the opposite. You could see the dark coming to your eye because the fucking the
because it was so constant.
The way they
all
the way they strobed
yeah.
it out. Weird.
It's like the same when something like one of those pictogram things, like the old movies, the original moving, the original cartoons, right? Like,
yeah,
the dude riding on a horse or whatever, right?
And like, it left like a like. There's nothing moving as far as the light, but it left trails because the fucking imprint of the light was so strong that when they turned the light off, you're still seeing like a
yeah,
like an echo of it, basically. But yeah,
that's how we know about the Big Bang.
That's hey. Right. She's that's what she's right. We're living in the fallout.
Cool. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, so the only thing that I have that's new that... because I've been watching the fuck out of, like, older movies. And I'm a little embarrassed to talk
how
about
older,
it.
How older?
But,
VVV!
But the wife and I have started watching this show called V-Wars.
What the fuck?
V-Wars?
And I'm a little embarrassed.
Yeah, you
is
should
it
be.
Like Virginity Wars?
No, no. I'll give you one more guess.
Vampire Wars.
Vampire Wars. Okay.
Wait a minute.
Wait, is that the one? Okay. I might have seen like the first season of this.
So, it's starring.
Oh, is this the trashy one you watched?
I think my mom has seen the whole
so
season.
It's starring
on
Ian Somerhalder, who you might remember from Lost, who is the brother. The brother and the stepsister that got down.
Oh, right, right, right. Okay.
And it's not a good show.
Is that the one where they're in New Orleans?
Is this the one where they split the country?
No. Not yet anyways. I don't know.
Oh, my
God.
So
they have just discovered a like, Paleolithic vampire prion. That like
what the fuck is a prion?
A prion is a protein.
It's the opposite of a post-on.
It's prion hardcore.
Prion prion vampire core.
Yeah. It's
right? It's a pre-protein.
Sure. Yeah. Like that's not a bad description. It basically activates a part of DNA yeah. that switches on.
He's
the
dying because we're talking real science about a bullshit show.
No, I'm talking real. It's kind of troubling. It like switches on like the vampire DNA that the next step of human evolution was supposed to take before the fucking ice age killed it. Okay, anywho, there's vampires now.
They find the vampire.
Okay,
virus.
And here's the thing. I know like intellectually that it's not a good show, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Dude, but you're in.
No,
but
that hooked. Fucking werewolf show. I watched it to the fucking end, and I'm
like, this brother is not acting
very well, and there's some fuck, there's some like CIA covert op shit going on, and I go
drama.
I'm like Jesus Christ, and then like the
so much drama,
and then like there's a kid, and like his mom is like mental health issues, but like also you're like sympathetic because like oh she's a mom and she just wants to be with her son,
and she clearly is trying her best,
and she's clearly unhinged, but she also just wants to hug her son, and there's fucking like pretty cool kind of like gore effects, which is
okay,
like unexpected for a show
when
of
you're
this
watching
caliber.
Yeah, when you're watching a show like that and they do and pretty so, good on something,
and so
you're
like
pleasantly
surprised.
My sister-in-law told me about the show, and she fucking loves Twilight, and she fucking loves all of these like romantic horror shows, she's like, we're gonna get down on V-Wars if you want to watch it later, and I was like, fuck
no,
it, why
not?
Not
the one
why?
I've seen.
We're going to get down on V-Wars.
Yeah. I'm and head so out. I was thinking, I'm like,
Dude, honestly, that was a fucking bonding experience for me growing up. Like, that's one of my best memories is like piling up on the fucking bed and watching novelas with my grandma, my grandpa, my mom, my auntie, my fucking brother, my two cousins.
This is
that's a big ass bed.
This is basically what this is. This is
like, it's a water bed.
This is like a fucking vampire novella. That's what I would call it.
What was that that trashy vampire or the trashy werewolf show?
God, I don't remember.
She was watching some
Bitten. Yeah, I watched the fuck out of that show.
God, Homeboy.
I hated myself for watching it while I was watching it, but I could not get it.
Homeboy
enough.
Was also another show called The Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
So it's the same. It's the same shit. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm being entertained and I'm kind of like,
like, this is good shit.
I go, what the fuck is wrong with me, dude?
Because it's like it's tapping into like some fucking lizard brain shit,
but like
for
also
human drama. I
but
swear
also
to God.
What's
kind of
neat too is that like the vampires during like the first few episodes they're evolving and they're becoming more perfect, which is kind of fucking cool.
Yeah, they made it science. They made it kind of sci-fi.
Anywho, I don't recommend it.
Is there a dude? This is tripping me out. Is there a political angle to this at all?
Oh yeah. Buddy.
Okay.
There always is with vampires.
This is my boss. Okay.
He looks like Mike on the show. He's like, what's it called, Harold?
He did acting like just he had done some side jobs here and there.
Heart attack Harold.
Yeah. He went and got a fucking job a few months ago as an extra on this show, and then they asked him to come back and be a general in a 5-minute scene. So I think my fucking boss is on your show.
I'll have to look for him, dude.
I swear to God.
I haven't run into a general yet.
He looks like Mike from Breaking Bad.
We're still in small... Oh, shit. You know what,
at a glance, yeah.
I think I have seen this fella.
That's... I think you saw
okay,
this
well, I'll have to... You know what?
I'm gonna double check that it's V-War. I think it's the same show.
George is like, you know what? For science, I'll rewatch the show.
He should know what he was on.
Oh, he knows. He knows.
Definitely call.
That's the thing too. When he did that, because like the where we work, he's all, "Hey, do me a favor, don't tell anyone that I'm doing this."
You're like, "Bitch, I'm telling everyone."
And I was like, "Well, I didn't tell anyone, but now
that's a mistake.
I haven't said any names, so that's it.
That's awesome."
As of this moment, I haven't seen any generals.
Oh my God, I really hope that.
All right,
you're about to see the motherfucking general come out.
Right, cool.
What he told me is that it's a politically minded show, but it uses vampires.
It gets there because there's so the idea is that
too dead on. Shut up. He didn't say that.
He did say that. That's why I'm like, what the fuck? And V-Wars.
No, that's kind of fucking weird.
So we haven't got to the wars part. Right now, it's just in the beginning where they're like figuring out like how the Prion.
This might be the horror event of the decade.
I'm saying first off, do not watch it. I do not recommend this show.
Second of all, I'm hooked and I gotta watch it.
Second of all, I am watching it.
First of all, your family is watching it. You gotta fucking keep up if you want to be relevant at any fucking gathering.
Well,
okay?
And also,
just
the wife and I need something stupid to watch so we can just kind of be mindless about, you know, being together sometimes.
Sometimes you gotta relax.
Anywho.
Rhett, did you ever watch Killer Sofa? Because I watched it this week, but George cut me off with his Kevin Smith talk.
Oh my God.
I did ask you.
I got one movie in, and then you're like, oh, by the way, I watched a bunch of movies. I'm not going to talk about it now.
I did ask you if I could tell the story, and you said, no, go ahead.
Professional podcasting got too hard.
Let's wrap back around. Let's wrap it around.
Matthew, what else did you watch?
I watched a bunch of stuff, but I just wanted to mention that Killer Sofa was not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, really?
Dude, it's like if you watch the trailer,
it ran out of ideas real quick.
If you watch the trailer, it looks so fun, and it was
for
not.
For a short, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I laughed every time I saw the recliner because they gave it two big buttons that look like eyes, so it's always making really like annoyed faces at people.
Can I interject real quick?
You may.
Sure, here comes a 20-minute tangent.
Damn, bitch. The first episode of V-Wars is called Down with the Sickness. Oh,
yes. That's what it was. Damn. It hooked you. Speaking of tight 90s new metal, the Fanatic arrived at my house
today. Yeah.
It was great. I sent out a message to Fred Durst. I'm just going to keep annoying him. I didn't look at what the special features were.
He never goes on Instagram, my dude.
He responded to us that one time, and I was like, bro, no, I'm serious. Come on.
He didn't actually respond to me, did he?
He absolutely did.
What did he say?
I'll look it up on the break, because I know which photo
it was.
Was
it on Twitter?
No, it was on Instagram.
No way.
I'll show you on the break.
The fuck out of here.
Yeah. I watched Girl on the Third Floor, too. Not great. It was entertaining, but it was just meh. It's very middle of the road. And then I watched a movie called Wounds, which was not very good at all.
I've heard. Yeah, these are ones that Patreon had kind of recommended, too.
Yeah, a lot of people threw like these movies out there, and I was like, all right, I'll check them out.
What's up with Braid? Are we going to...
Braid? I haven't heard. I'll look into it.
Yeah, there's so many, dude.
Dude, and I watched that movie Perfect that I sent you guys. Oh, yeah. Did you watch the trailer?
No, I haven't watched
the trailer. Dude, that movie was fucking bananas. I have no idea what was happening. I saw somebody say it was like Beyond the Black Rainbow's retarded cousin. And I was like, yo, like, there was not That's enough drugs crazy, to make that movie normal. And like,
did you take the drug?
The score was done by Flying Lotus, too.
That's a bummer.
So I was like, oh man, maybe this is going to be like Kuso. And it is fucking bananas. So there's that.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's those are the.
You would think
that
it'd be automatic. See, when something's not automatically good with a Flying Lotus score, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, like,
he should be paired up with some serious.
It may have a 17 on Rotten Tomatoes, but like I thought it was.
It's cool. An A plus in your heart.
Well, no, I'd still watch it. I just, it had a 17 and then it had a 25 or something user score. So it's like, god damn, this must be some niche thing.
It's some next level shit.
Yeah,
it's no, you know, Deadly Games, but.
Deadly Games.
It's there.
Deadly Games did us right.
Yeah, it did. You know what else did me right was that fucking Ghostbusters trailer.
Oh. There we go.
That looked like some good shit.
Yeah, we're going to do some trailer talk.
Nice and spoopy looking, yep. You know? It didn't, like, beat you over the head with, like, hey, this is Ghostbusters, but it gave you just enough to, you know, tickle that little nostalgia
boner. It's got a little bit of 80s vibe, but yep. Also not beating you over the head with it because there's laptops.
Yep.
It's also, like you said, like, I couldn't tell it was Ghostbusters immediately.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because they're not in the city. They're out in the middle of nowhere, you know? And so, and we don't have all the, we don't have all the puzzle pieces, like, who is who, and where are they, and so it's connected to the other stuff, but we don't know quite how, you know? Yeah,
and then they're hanging out with Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd is good casting for a Ghostbusters sequel.
And the nice thing is, if they decide to make a Ghostbusters sequel in 65 years, Paul Rudd is going to look exactly the same,
right.
And he can reprise his role.
Just like if they did a Clueless sequel, he'd be the same.
He's still the same. That movie came out like, what, 25, 30 years ago?
Alicia Silverstone probably looks like Donald Trump these days, but...
Hey! Whoa.
I'm going to say some funny shit on this fucking bitch.
God damn.
Don't be that way.
Aw, bitch.
See, we also
haven't said that in weeks.
The Grudge trailer.
Okay, so this Grudge trailer, Red is fully out on this.
I'm very skeptical because it's coming out. I know this sounds
1,000%.
That's your whole
thing.
Is you're just like, it's January.
It's gonna be bad news.
But no, I mean, usually it's bad news, but there has been some good January releases.
There are outliers.
There are outliers. There are exceptions, and that's why they're called exceptions.
It's got Harold in it. So
I don't give a fuck.
Wait, who? What?
Harold and Kumar. It's got Harold in it.
Was he the Asian guy in the shower? I was John like, let's Cho. See his dawn.
Yeah. Oh. So I don't know, dude. So I have zero expectations for this film. This trailer has actually piqued your interest.
Yep. And it's produced by Sam Raimi. So
I know that. See, and we had mentioned that a few episodes prior. It's hard for me to shake this. Because it means the distributor doesn't have much faith in it when they put it out in January. And the distributors, like, that's pretty hard to get your distributor work.
Either that, Or they're like, yo, movie. You know what? Most movies that come out in January suck. Let's drop this movie and just rake it in.
That's
let's
true. Get, that could be it. Let's
give them a sick D.
Yeah.
Let's fucking own January because it's not high profile enough to freaking mop it up.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Fucking I mean, go see January horror movies.
Because didn't Skedaddit Room did that?
Skedaddit Room kicked off last January.
Let's make January scary again.
It was, yeah. It was January and that movie did really well. It may not have been great, but it did really well.
I have...
That's true.
Neutral expectations now for that film. Initially, I was like, fuck you guys. Yeah. What are you thinking?
I was actually more optimistic because he was a producer and all that until I found the release date. And I was like, and also, here's the thing, so the release date
is what he's hinging this whole thing on.
Not the whole thing. The whole, but I mean, it's also fucking, it's.
That's what's got his spidey senses going.
Right. Ding. And this release date that's in January is in like 2 weeks. Like, dude, like there's no, they're not, there's you know, nothing behind true. This.
There's really no build
but
to
I
it.
Mean, that also often doesn't say very much, you know, like.
It may not.
You never know.
You never know. I'd like The Grudge to be the new Exorcist. I really would. That comes
but well, we know. I mean, come on.
Make The Grudge Ju-on again.
Right.
You know, speaking of release dates, VFW has a release date now, and it's coming out on Valentine's Day, 2020. Cute. And
is that a good?
I'm excited.
I honestly really enjoyed VFW.
That's Joe Bagos.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, I honestly think it's better than Bliss. That was the movie that I said was exhausting because it was like just, you know, 10-minute mark, the action kicks off, and it goes the entire time.
When people tell me movies are exhausting, I'm like, fuck yeah. He's like, stress me the fuck out. I want to be fucking disoriented when I get out of the theater.
I want to be disoriented and upset.
Yes. I'm getting excited just saying those words.
then there's another trailer for The Predator Haunting Ground. Which I didn't know anything about until you mentioned today.
I'm super, super excited for this.
I think it would have been better as Dead by Daylight.
No, because it's own thing. It's its own thing now. Dude.
It is. There's guns and stuff like that. And like watching the...
Haunting Ground?
It's called Predator Hunting Ground.
Hunting Ground.
I have Haunting Ground on the brain. I just want to play that game so fucking bad.
That would be kind of cool though if it was Haunting Ground because they're like all predator spectral with, and predator shit. With
ghosts. Dude, one of our Patreon.
I had a comic where the samurais were fighting Predator in ancient times and they thought the Predators were demons.
So good.
Do you guys remember that show? I think it was called like... I want to say it was Ultimate Warrior, but I don't think that's the name of it. But it was like they would get like samurais versus ninjas and they would do like Ultimate the simulation. Warrior,
or no, is that what it's no, called? No, you're talking about no. Samurai Showdown?
No, it's a show where they would like take like they would like pit do like samurais versus
cavemen
knights.
Versus like Zulu warriors. Oh, you
imaginary
know?
And, fight.
I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. They would like compare their weapons.
That was just in my head.
No, they would compare their weaponry and then they would do a simulation of like who would actually win in a fight. Wow. It was pretty tight.
Ultimate Warrior?
I want to say
it's number one, the best warrior.
I don't think it was called.
Literally internet forums, but in.
No, it's a show. It's like a
it was
full,
a
like
show.
A
it was no, on
I know,
show.
I know that show, but was that the premise of the show?
Oh, I don't know.
That was a good
internet
show.
Internet forums, just like who would win if.
Amazing War? No.
Did they do animals? Because there was like a Discoverer or some sort of animal planet.
No, that was a different show. But I know what you're talking
about.
But
I was going to say, they did their own thing like that.
But they would do this ridiculous thing where they would like take like a samurai sword and stab things. And we're like, yeah.
Well, I think that was like fight science. I think that was called fight science.
I liked sports science. God damn.
But the most.
How many wars shows are there? Seriously, like 600.
The most exciting trailer I saw this week was the release trailer for Resident Evil 3.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's I told y'all it was coming. It's called the Deadliest Warrior. There you go. Resident Evil 3, high def, reboot, remake.
Well, I mean, you said told you as if like that would be like a big revelation.
No, it was all speculation and like, oh, they might do it if there's enough support. I'm like, it's coming out. It's going to come out. There's no way they're not going to capitalize on the success of part two.
Yeah.
And
it
looks
fucking
great. They
better fucking get the success if they want to keep going too.
And I mean, you do part three and like, what are you going to do? Four again?
That would have been the hat.
Yeah, that trailer looks good though. I mean...
So you were
a little skeptical.
There was one thing that I saw in the trailer that I really didn't think I liked, and that was it looked like when you're running, it did that kind of thing where like your path is outlined by yellow. You know, there's like little yellow paint or police tape, and it's like, oh, this is the spot you need to go to. Like, I kind of don't like that. I don't like big fucking arrows pointing to where I need to go. But
you want
to
be confused and...
I want to find it on my own. Like, don't fucking walk me through it, but...
Yeah, it's like that game you played on fucking... That you streamed, that you kept dying from books and tying your shoe and shit like that.
Witch's house. That game was fun. That game was hella fun.
Trial and error type. learn by that? Failure.
Yeah, yeah.
It is fun to learn by failure, yeah, and also it's frustrating.
Cool.
New BioShock game
without Ken Levine, though.
What does that mean?
Levine is the dude. So Ken Levine was Ken Levine was basically
he's the guy from Maroon 5, right?
Without fucking Ken Levine,
so
everyone hashtag Ken Levine.
Your favorite BioShocks have Ken Levine at the helm.
You mean the first one?
Your first favorite. And Infinite. So he was not behind at all BioShock 2.
Oh, BioShock 2 was terrible.
So while I'm excited for this, I do think that a lot of the DNA is going to be left at
not
the table.
There.
Yeah.
Ooh, if it's anything like part two. Dude, Alia got me part two for Valentine's Day 1 year, and I was like, this is so great. And then I played it, and I was like, she doesn't love me anymore.
You say that, but like the combat in two is far superior than
honestly,
one.
I don't even remember the combat but because like, the story was so bad.
That's clearly not what it's about, though. You know, like not all games are about combat. It doesn't need to be happening.
And
like,
two was
combat.
Buggy as fuck, dude. I put like 6 hours into that, and then it just like crashed during a save.
Scary. The game is fucking legit creepy and scary.
Yeah, I remember this discussion on a prior episode.
Yeah.
Episode.
Do you?
Can we all agree that one is the best?
One is
100%.
Okay, good.
It's absolutely the best.
Winner of the argument. Good. Right. Okay. Wasn't even a part of
okay.
it.
The final news thing I have is the title of the new Conjuring movie.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw that shit.
Antebellum.
The Devil Made Me Do It.
Conjuring the Devil.
No.
Yes, motherfucker. Get behind this.
It's not even The Conjuring 3. It's The Conjuring The Devil Made Me Do It.
Hell yeah.
It's the Jesus demon. I got it inside me, dude.
Dude, you got to paint now with the Conjuring. Bad fucking heavy metal
fucking
wig on.
They should have called it The Conjuring. Y'all need Jesus.
Y'all motherfuckers need Jesus.
That's the Walmart release version because they won't say anything about the devil.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Speaking of Walmart,
Satanic
Panic. Oh,
releases,
I sent you that, huh?
Did you guys see what are you talking about?
They have Satanic Panic at Walmart.
Oh no.
And the irony is writ large because this is it takes place during the 80s during the Satanic
Walmart is
Panic.
Hard.
Right?
Well,
but they're calling it just Panic.
But they have the movie there, Alia, but it just says Panic. So what the movie is satirizing, they're doing with the refusal to put the title on it.
So, dude, they had so
fucking hilarious.
There was a movie that came out a few years ago called Christmas Horror Story, and Walmart released it as Holiday Horror Story just so they could sell more, but it's like on the cover was Santa Claus fighting Krampus.
So, speaking of Santa Claus and Walmart, so on Walmart's website a couple days ago, there was this ugly
edgiest sweater.
Oh, yeah.
So the sweater on it says, let it snow.
I saw it with the lines.
And then it's got Santa Claus with these fucking gigantic eyes and fucking racks of Coke on the table.
It kind of looks like Mr. Hankey. Got that kind of fucking like South Park look. Yeah.
And so they had to
were clearly snowflakes. George.
They had to apologize and fucking pull the listing from their
they're like, oh, it's a third party retailer.
Many people approve that. I just want to say.
Oh my god,
dude! I would rock the fuck out.
I kind of want to buy it.
No, fuck off.
That's a pretty great.
You
Christmas
can't literally
sweater.
Criticize me anytime I want to do coke and like fucking. But then be like, I wear
it's
that.
It's a parody
sweater.
Of coke.
Yeah,
it's Santa Claus snorting lines of snow.
If you're gonna let it snow, you gotta let it snow.
What if it's just frosting?
Yeah, there you go.
What if he's not gonna snort it at all?
Let it snow. Let the frosting snow.
It's just letting it.
I saw another Christmas sweater. It was a piece of pizza that looked like a Christmas tree.
No, he has like
the
little hand.
No, I've seen it. I'm just saying that like they could get around it. Like what? Like you're seeing things.
Yeah, you're the one.
I don't see him snorting.
We're not sexualizing this child, Georgie.
That's okay for a 12-year-old arguing with anybody else.
It's not the movie that's sexualizing
the child. But for a company, for like a worldwide company, that is not. An okay arguing. I'm so sorry.
Wait,
where's your sticker, Rhett?
Not exactly serious.
Blow.
Wow.
Rung out.
They could take it to court, though.
I don't know about rung out, but spoken to in harshly.
What you mentioned, though, that this was signed off on. So they must, they saw
times.
A slew of designs and were like, oh, okay, fucking generic shirt, put it out there. And they're like, that's not.
That's... they saw it. They thought it was hilarious, which it kind of fucking is. But for Walmart, are you kidding me, dude? Like, yeah. It's too much.
Was that the last bit of news you had?
Yeah.
I think it's...
Yeah, I feel like there. T-shirt hell, like, yes. You know, like, any Instagram vendor, yes. But, like, Walmart.
Someone will pick it up.
I kind of want to buy it. Any other bits we should get to before we take a break?
Well, now it's a fucking collector's item because they cut it off.
And we talk about our film?
Let's talk about the film.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be right back to talk about a film called...
The Daniel Isn't
David. Johnny Got Some Head.
Johnny Got Some Head. That's it. Johnny Got That's Some a callback Head.
From two episodes ago.
Yeah.
Johnny Bag of
Sorry
Donuts.
Sorry you missed it.
Bye. Hey, Matthew.
Saw, dude.
Guess what, dude?
We're fucking back.
We're super back, and guess what?
We watched a little film.
We watched a little film called Daniel Isn't Real, directed by Adam Egypt Mortimer.
Yeah.
Written by Brian Liu. Is how that's pronounced.
That's how you say it.
Starring Miles Robbins, Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
Sasha Lane,
you
Mary
not just pretend
Stewart,
struggle with that name. Fuck off.
Hannah
wasn't
Marks.
It together
Here's
that he
the
knows
one.
That one.
Chukwudi Uwiji.
Who's Chukwudi Luigi?
He is the doctor, the black psychiatrist.
Peter McRobbie.
I was thinking, like, there's a black guy in this movie.
Peter McRobbie, Andrew Bridges, Nathan Chandler Reed, Chase Suey Wonders, Katie Chang, and Michael Cuomo.
Hmm.
Where is what's the girl's name? What is her?
Wait a minute.
Anywho,
really
doesn't matter.
It's a simple name. It's a short. She has like a four-letter last name.
Matthew Smith, what'd you think of Daniel Is Not Real?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
It's like a more fucked up version of Drop Dead Fred.
Oh, man. Wow. Alia? You don't have to wake up for this one. You could just say you like it or not.
I really liked it.
Jeez.
The second time around, I really liked it. It also gave me crazy anxiety.
That's
like,
right.
All right.
Bad, like shaking.
Riggedy Rhett.
I really, really enjoyed this movie. I really did. It's got it's a B movie.
Yes.
But it's got some non B movie ambitions. And some of the dialogue, like, I'm like, ugh, you know, ugh. But the actors really help sell this fucking thing. Patrick Schwarzenegger does a great job. I think the guy who usually plays stoners in comedies, the main guy, I forget it, what's his name?
Miles Teller.
I believe it's Ryder Strong.
It's not Miles Teller.
Yeah, that
yeah.
dude.
Cheap shit, Ryder Strong. Yeah,
go back to Boy Meets World, dork.
Yeah, Miles Robbins.
He does a good job. The other cast members, the supporting cast, the two ladies, were fine for what they have. They're underused.
Fine, just fine.
Oh, his mom. Do you notice who his mom is?
It is Mary Stuart Masterson.
That's motherfucking Fried Green Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever watch that movie?
Yeah.
No.
That is a fantastic film. Boys and girls, put your horror movies down and go watch Fried Green Tomatoes.
She was also in Benny and June and a bunch of other shit. She stepped wise.
Where I come from, we call those tomatillos.
Yeah, that's right. I had the opportunity to speak to the director, and that was one of the things I first mentioned was that, how did you get the lady from Fried Green Tomatoes? But she did. You know, she's a good actress. But anyway, the movie's not perfect. I think I like how it's got it's a good meeting point. It's got some body horror, it's got some cosmic horror, it's got some psychological horror, and I like its ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Patrick Schwarzenegger is a very good role for him.
He looks a little bit too much like his dad sometimes.
You've done an amazing job of saying a lot about that movie without spoiling it, because it's hard to do that. You can't really say even from the beginning.
No, thank you. Yeah, I don't like talking. Yeah, I try not to talk about the plot.
And she goes back to bed.
Thank you very much.
Ollie is not super drunk. She's just super tired.
I like how you wake up to give me a compliment.
Yeah, so, you know, I have obvious problems with this movie. I think there's, you know, some silly shit going on.
It's messy as fuck.
But I think by and large, I think it's a fun movie. It's got some things to say about mental health that I have issues with, especially the ending.
Issues?
Do you have mental health issues?
No, I have issues with the way they handled said mental issues.
So you have mental health issues with mental health issues
portrayed as mental health issues. Yeah. But I think
and
along the same lines,
right? The plural.
I think
with an S.
I think Arnold's son is doing a pretty good job of doing Pennywise. I got some real heavy Pennywise vibes from that performance, which is not a bad thing, but I could feel like just a tinge of Skarsgård in there.
It felt like his...
I hadn't made that connect, but I guess I see what you're saying, yeah.
But I did enjoy this movie, and I watched it on my motherfucking TV.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Hey,
when did you find the time?
I know.
When we literally decided to do this movie yesterday.
Tell me about it.
Well, did you know? I mean, it was it's a pretty stylish film when it can be, also, I'd say. I mean, you know, like it also kind of surprised me. It was very empathetic here and there. Like, there was actually some actually kind of tender moments between the girl and the main guy that I thought were very effective.
Which girl?
His girlfriend,
Sasha.
Ah.
Yeah, there was actually a love scene that was pretty.
I don't think that was her name.
Pretty effective.
I don't think that was her name.
That's the actress's
name. Her name is Cassie.
Yeah, she was in a movie called Honey Something.
Yeah, she's mostly really good in this movie. There are times when I'm like, ooh, what are you doing?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, she might have needed a little more direction, or just they needed to flesh her character out more. She didn't know quite what direction to go because it might have been thin. Who knows? But
I like the way she moved.
That's right.
I like her bangs.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No.
Okay, gripes.
So I guess we can't really get into it without getting into spoilers right away.
Right.
Which we really can't. Well, I mean, my main gripe is dealing with the way it ends, and I have a frustration with it. So
I'm fine with it.
You guys didn't see the similarities between this and Drop Dead Fred?
Of course. I mean, it's an imaginary friend, but...
But not even that, but like the sense of like how, you know, it's always playing pranks that become like hazardous to the mother's health, and then they lock the friend up somewhere, which is essentially like repressing this coping device. I mean, they literally, like in Drop Dead Fred, they lock him up in the Jack in the Box.
Any imaginary friend movie is going to have that trope. Sorry.
The friend up in a thing.
Inside Out, too. Yeah, he's like kind of stuck in the thing. And then, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, that's not imaginary friend, but it's like he's got to bury Mr. Hyde. He can't let him out, you know? That's what it really reminded me of. It's the classic Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde trope. But modernized. It's like a millennial Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
It's part of you. It's the side of you. It's inside of you.
Right. Like, it's your... Well, again, I you know, I'm a sucker for stuff where it deals with the shadow. And that's what it's my literally shadow. About that. Well, it's literally what the fucking movie's about. And that's what... I mean, when the director and I spoke briefly, we talked at length about... Half the talk was about that.
Right.
Yeah.
I did love how cute the main kid was. So cute.
Yeah, the intro...
I can't get over how he looks like Cole Sprouse and Russell Brand's love child, dude. I can't get over it.
that intro, like the first 10 minutes, were super effective. Like all the little kid stuff where he's playing with his imaginary friend.
Seeing his parents fighting, he sees the murder scene, all this trauma as a young kid, and you know, you instantly see him develop this coping mechanism like right before your eyes.
Yeah. And I do like that they didn't waste any time showing you more of like him being, you know, him and his upbringing, because like you kind of can make the leap. You can make the logical leap that his mom's going to get worse and, you know,
when it gives you everything you need to know, he's got PTSD. His mom's got like some kind of mental health disorder. Dad's out of the picture. And that's basically it. That's right. All you need to know. And you see the friend pop up and you see how like the friend starts influencing his behavior as a child to the point where, you know, he almost murders his mom.
It was interesting to me that the mom sort of knew kind of from the get go how to deal with Daniel.
She
didn't really manage to deal with him though, because before he was unlocked later on, he was like, there was still like, he was having flashes. It was interfering with his life, you know? Like the fact that he was basically cursed was interfering
with
his life.
I think and it's hard to speculate because the movie's only an hour and 40 minutes and there's not a whole lot of world building. But let's go with Daniel's locked up, at least up until, you know, his after high school age.
So on that note, is Daniel an imaginary friend or is Daniel like a demon from across time?
Well, that's the thing.
I thought we were already at that point.
We literally said he tried to kill his mom.
Yeah.
Well, this is always that. There's that intersection.
That's like the first 5 minutes.
It's the intersection between the supernatural and psychology or the psyche or mental illness. And, you know, the thing is, by the way, like, if you're using clinical terms for psychology, if you're just saying, there's still, the jury's out with this stuff. Meaning, there are psychological conditions that existed in the 70s that no longer exist. Like being homosexual used to be a psychological condition.
Used to be in the DSM-5. Yeah.
They used to prescribe you cocaine for headaches. Yeah.
Exactly. They used to do all sorts of things. So there's still a lot of mystery.
Look at retardation nowadays. You know, like that's like there's so many different things that fall under like what you would call before.
Or with like, you know, if you're like me, you're like slow. A super autist, and then like
you would have just been no, slow. Just
no, Jesus Christ.
No, I won't get into that. But so, what the hell am I trying to say here? I don't know if it's exactly clear. We don't know all this stuff. So, and here's the thing.
I feel like if he's any, like, sort of, like, disorder or anything like that, Daniel itself or himself, I feel like it's toxic masculinity.
Well, exactly. No, that's the thing. She's right, though, because that's why when I spoke with Adam Egypt Mortimer, the director, again, we talked about the toxic masculinity aspect is absolutely, they get to thematically develop that.
It's pretty surface level, right? Like the toxic masculinity.
It's overt.
The thing that,
so when they say Daniel isn't real, it's like, oh, that's not a real thing. It's like, well, it is a real thing.
The thing that frustrates me.
Is it an epidemic disease? Like, is it is it a social viral thing that's spread across people?
If you separate
people?
Those thing questions, I can answer it. Epidemic, yes. Disease, no.
Right.
The thing that frustrates me, I think, mostly is conceptual. I feel this way, is that a movie that deals with mental health, like if you're removing the demonic aspect altogether, which is hard to do in this film, but if for one moment, follow me on this. Mm. And so this character has mental health issues and his mom has mental health issues and blah, 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 blah. And so the way that they end this movie is being like, dude, just kill yourself. I have real heartburn with this.
I felt like it was, especially watching it the second time, I really felt like they made it clear that he was on the wrong path. Like, he thought that it was schizophrenia, but he was clearly on the wrong path. And it was kind of like a cathartic moment when he, like, went and talked to, when he just realized the connection between him and the guy he saw kill himself in the very beginning of the movie.
It's essentially no different in that sense to me. Like, before going the other way with it, Fight Club, he decides if he wants to kill Tyler Durden and protect people, then he has to shoot himself.
Right.
If he dies, then he dies. Except in Fight Club, he survives. And so it's essentially no different. Like, it's the most ethical thing he could do. It makes the most sense for him because it would take him out of pain.
Was a big turning point, too. He killed his therapist.
Because the shadow had surfaced and taken conscious control when that occurred. And he didn't want to kill anyone. He didn't want that to occur again. So snuff yourself out. Put yourself out of pain. Protect other people.
And it really felt like a last... case scenario. It felt like he didn't want to do it at all. Like, it did not feel like he wanted to do it.
And he is talking about mental illness there, because a shitload of people kill themselves.
That's what I mean. Like, it feels... I think the reason I have a real problem with the way this movie ends is that... It's not that I wanted it to be like, oh, dude, he fucking conquers Daniel, and...
I would have been happy with that,
Him
honestly.
And homegirl get to fuck on a roof for the last 2 minutes.
I would have been so fucking happy with that. I would have been happy with that.
But I just think that I think that if the idea is that he figures out a way around it, I have trouble with him killing himself as the
But arguably he didn't find a way around it because like the ending,
but not really. Yeah, exactly. You're just saying.
I mean, the ending, like you see, and see, this is where my there's a lot of stuff that the only solution is.
It's like being bit by a zombie. That's pessimistic.
But I mean, just because it's pessimistic doesn't mean it doesn't work.
It was the answer for him.
It's the answer for him.
Well, see, and like,
well, here's the other thing too. It boils down to is it a demon or not? I think from Luke's perspective, by this point, I think he's come to equate Daniel as a manifestation of a demonic entity, which is the same kind of entity that at the beginning of the movie when the shooting happened. It's like, it's kind of like the same energy that fucking that caused that has pursued him.
Right.
It's followed him.
Yeah.
And so
even if it is not a demonic energy.
Yeah, and if it isn't, and for Luke, it's absolutely become demonic. It's his life, it's his head, it's where he lives.
Well, see, and they make it out to where it has to be because
I guess they do blur the line pretty well.
Well, Daniel's still around at the end, but that could just be a metaphor for like, even though you're like not there, there's still other people that are going to have to deal with you.
I did get that feeling like humanity is this provenance.
I think it's probably pretty clear that Daniel is a demon only because the scene of...
Because of his sense of humor. Jesus Christ.
I think that the girlfriend sees him transform. Yeah. I think that's the biggest grounding rod for the whole thing, that you're like, oh, okay, so this
what
is...
What do you mean?
It's not just Luke's perspective, you're saying it's something outside of it.
Right.
Oh, she sees the face transform.
Yeah, she sees him like mold his face into
Well, and again, too, from our perspective,
okay,
that might be metaphorical.
I wanted to go back to the beginning, and I said it, and I didn't do it. Like, in the very beginning, when the kid is... We're talking about the first scene, you know, loved it. Like, with the kid seeing the crime scene and weaving his way through the crowd and all that. What did the guy look like? Did he look like...
Who guy?
Like Patrick Schwarzenegger, the guy that killed himself. Like, when he's sitting there, upside down. Like, did he look different when he was upside down? That wasn't
the guy. That was, like, a waitress. Wasn't it the one that was laying outside of the door?
That was the guy. The waitress was inside. That was the guy.
The waitress survived.
Who did Luke see laying in the doorway
with the gunshots? Like on his face. Yeah, I think he shoots himself at the end.
That was the main.
Or the cops killed him.
He definitely died by the cops.
Himself. Yeah,
but like
he did.
Yeah, it said on the thing like he died in a shootout with police. But like I could have sworn that was a woman like in a dress.
The waitress is talking to the cops.
The guy that she when Luke is walking by,
right? And she wasn't wearing like an Alice from Brady Bunch kind of dress. I don't know where the fuck my brain connected those dots.
That's right. Well, because they go... I don't know specifically, but they go to the next scene is the mom looking for the kid. So, yeah. I mean, you could kind of make that connection.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I keep meaning to go back and see, like, when he changed his face, I'm like, did he look kind of like him? Like, did he look kind of like himself? Like, was it someone who looked like that, you know?
Well, see, and why did he look... like that, like the things from The Last of Us. Like, why? I mean, is that because he's an actual demon, or is that just how? Because, like, there, you know, that one kid did the drawings where he looks like that. His girlfriend sees, you know, the shadow of the crown.
So
horn
again,
things.
And I don't want to go too fucking up my own ass about this, but I think it's a fucking Stephen King reference. I think it's a reference to the Crimson King because he's wearing like and I could be way off base, but he's wearing like a red jacket and he's got this like
that kid's room when they went back to it was all bathed in red, like the walls and the fucking sheets.
If it isn't a direct reference, it's definitely along those like lines of like the Crimson King.
Is there anything in this movie that would tie into
the Crimson King? isn't just like that's an archetypal
thing. That's what I mean. I don't think specifically it's a Stephen King thing.
Yeah. We're talking about what that vibe.
Yeah.
That whole area of,
yeah.
of representation.
And I mean he's obviously got like a fucking kind of crowny head protrusion thing. And so you know, I do think that there's some something bigger going on.
Some just, infernal shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's basically like a mini Hellraiser movie.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably the closest movie to my actual faith. Hell yeah. My gods are like Daniel. My gods that I believe in are like, they're closer to Daniel than any god you've ever heard of.
That's right.
They would eat your god.
If you would try to pronounce their name, you would go insane.
I don't know. You'd probably get it wrong, but I don't know their name. Why would I know their names?
Why would you?
You worship. You don't fucking ask questions.
Good question.
That's right.
Wait a minute.
Quit a minute. What do you guys think of the practical effects?
Good.
Pretty good. There's a couple hiccups here. There's some CGI that's dodgy.
Where are the practical effects?
There's like when the face mashes together. Because
when Patrick Schwarzenegger like does the thing with his face,
yeah.
like that looked terrible.
I thought it was fucking cool.
The first time
I was like
the 80s.
I was like, his face looks like cookie dough.
The first time they face meld, I thought that was pretty cool. Like his face like stretches out
and then fucks that chick in
the
sewer.
And then they kind of like tentacle face each other. Like that stuff was pretty cool.
That reminded me. Okay, some of the ideas are just your body horror stuff, right? And maybe a little bit of Hellraiser stuff, like you said, you'd mentioned. But then, like, the execution looked like Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, which I'm down with.
Yeah.
It looked like that kind of thing. Like, you remember when he opened, like, in Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, he lifts up his... It's her stomach
George
and she's got all the
Freddy
faces. You've never seen Part 4?
I don't know.
The Dream Master?
Probably not.
Oh, I've seen Dream Master.
Have you?
It's the most MTV-ish of the entire series, but it's got some great practical effects in that bitch.
And with the pizza, right?
Arguably the best kill in the entire series.
Oh, okay.
Which is the cockroach fucking chick.
Isn't that 5?
Part 5 is fucking the comic book
black
and white.
Which is
the
one with the
pizza. Super Freddy.
Yeah. Super Freddy's 5.
So 4 is the cockroach.
4 is the cockroach.
I think 4 is the pizza as well.
See? So fuck you.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Right. 3 is my favorite of the series, but that cockroach shit in part 4 is hella tight.
Yeah, the other thing that was kind of I couldn't quite jive with was the idea that Daniel, the demon, whatever
the D
has this castle.
He's quite tenacious.
Where he stores all of his like kill objects, right?
Oh, you know, but it's okay for him to store the toys of his father and his grandfather and his grandfather.
Oh.
So
different universe, right?
It's weird because that castle or the house isn't that Luke's representation of what the house looks like or
the
what
dollhouse?
Yeah,
I think the dollhouse is his brain.
The dollhouse is the psyche. It's his. Yeah, it's right.
It's, well, it's
his,
like because when
interior space
because when Luke's in there later, you know, he's basically trapped inside his own head while Daniel like runs amok and like he tries to escape and there's that brick wall there and the only time like. That brick wall starts opening is when Daniel is getting his ass beat by homeboy's girlfriend. So it's like
it's eroding
he's,
it.
Yeah,
but
he's
then,
losing
but then
his
when
control.
He finally jumps off the edge too, you see like the side, the front of the house of the shape of his dream house on the side.
I said, "Hey, motherfucker, yeah, you."
On the side of the brick, it's like popping out. It's like popping out like a little pinball. I
cannot
fucking think of the word.
Damn, you blocked out real hard house. Right there. You should fucking talk about dream house over here.
Dude, Alia can fall asleep, like fast asleep within like 15 seconds.
I can't fall asleep because you guys are literally talking.
But
to
she's doing it. She's dipping down in there.
Yeah,
she comes back.
Yeah, right. She's blunking, dude. She's blunking hard.
It's past her bedtime.
Yeah, it is. Past my bedtime, for Christ's sake.
Oh, man. I don't know. Why did he just keep getting so many chicks? Like, that's what I don't get. I mean, I kind of wish
confidence,
I had a...
dude. God, confidence. How many times do you have to hear it?
I kind of wish I had a imaginary friend that told me all, like, the right choices of dialogue to do.
Even
like,
if he would never shut up.
Dude, I don't know. That's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I do
someone
that to
else
George.
That's not your thoughts.
I'm just always texting George. I'm like, hey, hey.
Okay,
where's
see,
the
this
file?
Is a different perspective that you understand, but you pretend not to.
Well, and you know, I do like those scenes quite a bit where Daniel's kind of like, oh, the answer's number four, stupid. Here's the formulas.
Yeah, and then like that was a weird scene in the classroom where he's like trying to take a test and then he's like, let me just get up here and get naked.
He goes full Memento.
You can check out all the answers on my body.
A movie, right? That I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Memento is the movie. Tattoo.
Yeah, find him and kill him.
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of
weird. That movie.
It's been a while.
Ooh, that's a good movie.
Since the last time I was dating my ex-girlfriend, so that long.
Don't trust Teddy.
Watch that movie and see, count how many fucking minutes it takes you to be completely fucking ensnared in it. Like, you're like, oh, I can't stop.
You know, if you
have like 2 minutes.
If you have the DVD, there's like
the DVD. What?
There's a special, like,
I mean, it's literally three letters. You could have said the three letters.
DVD.
Yes.
And it's the V.
There's a bunch of hidden selections, like Easter eggs, where if you click them in the right order, you can watch it in like from beginning to end instead of from end to beginning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Spoilers for those who haven't seen Memento.
Well, I mean, I feel like if you haven't haven't watched a 17-year-old movie by now, that's your own fucking fault.
It's time to watch that bitch.
Yeah. That movie is tight. There was a San Diego like noisecore band called Find Him and Kill Him. They were cool as fuck.
Did you guys pick up on when the doctor came to the house to help Luke? Did you guys pick up on that that little exorcist shit?
No, what happened?
What you mean the hypnosis?
Well, so when he first rolls up to the house, and you kind of see the silhouette of him in the streetlight. It was very reminiscent of that exorcism scene. Yeah,
I mean, cool. I could see that. Like, I saw an article that I didn't read about like eight films that inspired this guy when he made the movie, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I should definitely read that, and then I just didn't.
And then you noped out of there.
I bet Exorcist is probably on that list.
Oh, big time.
Let's see. I'm gonna see if I can pull that thing up again.
Yeah, look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Let's have silence.
He went a little Patrick Bateman, you know, when Daniel took over.
Some of that
like
swagger.
when he was railing that chick in the sewer, I kind of expected him to find a reflective surface and start flexing, like, and checking himself out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
which would have been hella fucking tight.
A lot is asked of Miles. What?
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller.
That's not his name.
That's not his name. that's a different motherfucker.
That's from the Spider-Verse, right?
Yeah, I think. No, that's Miles Morales.
Oh, okay. Like, Miles Teller is
fucking Whiplash?
Yeah, no? I don't know. Anywho, it's Miles Robbins.
Miles Robbins. Yeah, and then he gets to get his Castor Troy shit on at the end. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's...
What is Castor Troy?
And see, he's the bad guy in Face Off. It's when, like, Travolta has to act like Cage, and Cage has to act like
Jesus
Travolta.
Jesus Christ. And, you know, those little moments that, like, Daniel, when Luke asked Daniel, he's like, oh, how does the water feel? And he goes, I wouldn't know. That kind of stuff was super cool to me.
That was fucking cool. And you know what? Also, how they limited what you see from Daniel, you don't really get... Like, Patrick Schwarzenegger, he wisely kind of only shows you parts of the character. Like, it's not that it's thin. It's that, like, he gets vulnerable a couple times. Like, you can see that he's actually got some vulnerability. But the majority of the movie, he kind of just shows you, like the confidence and the arrogance. And he's trying to, like, avoid being any kind of, like, real vulnerable entity. But it's there a few times.
Yeah.
Because he gets upset. He feels threatened.
Oh, dude, like that scene where he's quoting the different books and he starts doing the one at the Bible and Luke decides to change up the quote and Daniel keeps doing it. And it's like, you shall have no God before me. Like,
right.
That was fucking tight.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, see, there's some really good ideas and really good little scenes that work. They kind of take you by surprise, honestly.
Well, the sex scene in particular, I think, is very effective because it does show that Daniel has this like longing to be human.
Right.
He does want to have the physical manifestation of being a person.
But it's fear.
But he can like touch Luke, but he can't touch anyone or anything else.
Right.
I don't why.
Well, because he's connected to Luke.
Luke's his
but
his
like
entry point.
When Luke tried to touch Daniel, like his hand got severed, basically.
That was weird. I didn't quite understand that. Like,
that was
maybe
only,
because
that
it was
only when he lived in control of his body.
Well, yeah, but he still couldn't touch him. Like, Daniel could touch Luke, but when Luke went to touch Daniel...
He was in another dimension of pain. The fucking dimension in the painting.
He's... It kind of makes... You know what? What she's saying, that makes... He's... Well, if I got technical, he's vibrating at a different frequency.
And maybe he's trying to cross over too quickly.
Yeah, right. Nobody can see him. Like, nobody can see Daniel.
Luke is Daniel's entry point into this world.
Right. Well, they're each other's entry point, right?
Yeah. But he doesn't have an entry. Luke doesn't have an entry point into Daniel's world.
Daniel needs to enter Luke's mouth.
Yeah, that was very... Yeah, there was a whole lot to do with his mouth.
Yeah, he was accepting him.
There is a lot to do with the mouth. What are you trying to say, dude?
I don't know, dude.
You like my mouth, bro?
I just said that. And
it's a real pretty mouth.
Oh. No, but I mean, what do you think the significance of that is?
The mouth?
Other than he was accepting him.
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good
pretty
question.
Pretty good.
I mean, because it's twice, right?
The mouthpiece, that's where the words come from.
Well, I mean, and Luke did go down on that girl, so maybe it's like the mouth is the window to the soul.
If the eyes are the window to the soul, then the mouth is the window to the D.
That's not what windows are for, dude.
Windows are for D.
It's more of like the doggy door to the D.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah.
The mouth is the doggy door to the D.
Jesus Christ. That's awful.
Speaking of, like, animals, in the sewer, that girl was, like, all into Luke because she said he was, like, an animal. But then she got all butthurt when he acted like an animal and then fucked her and attacked the other, like, alpha in the group. Put his face on a pipe.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah. She's like, you're hot because you're like an animal.
Well, I've kind of experienced some version of that where I think a girl might like it to a point and to the point where you just become a fucking psychotic maniac.
Yeah, I guess there's a subtle difference between being
displaying dominance,
sexually kind of being animalistic, and then actually like brutally.
No, that's why I didn't. I get it because I didn't know where that line. It was like I'm blacked out, so it's like what? Like,
it's the same shit, same energy.
This is what you like.
He's like, my glasses.
Yeah, my glasses. Well, that wasn't one of those nights.
That was not. No.
That's Moose.
We all went. We were all beta cucks that night.
Totally.
That's pretty good.
I was like fucking Woody Allen that night, basically. I was like a neurotic little fucking, 100-pound New Yorker at that. Yeah, that's what that was.
He's sure. Also a pedophile, so I mean, like...
Hey.
He is. Like, there's no denying.
He that. Is.
Mumbling into the tabletop.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I think it's a decent flick.
Is it one you would watch again?
No.
Yeah,
I'm never going to watch this movie again.
When Ollie almost, and I put I it on, I was like, you know what? I don't remember like anything from this movie. And then little bits came back to me, but like it's not that it's too heavy to watch again. It's just not, I don't want to say it's not enjoyable enough either, but there's just not enough there to make me want to watch it again.
I think it's noteworthy for a few things besides all the stuff that I like. But I mean, okay. Patrick Schwarzenegger is on the cusp, if you ask me, of probably some form of stardom. And this is a good entry role into that. So wherever that goes for him, this will be one of those kind of like, oh, an early role where he got to like show his chops a little bit.
This is his
flex, if you will.
Yeah. For Johnny Depp.
Yeah, and the rest of this cast, they're up and coming too. Like, yeah. the main guy, Miles Teller. Yeah, that guy.
It was kind of nice, like, not recognizing anybody in this.
Yeah.
Although Patrick Schwarzenegger does look a little too much like his dad sometimes without the muscles.
His smile is extremely
His smile and his eyes.
It didn't bother me, though. I thought that was amazing. I mean, that's just because I'm like, wow. Fucking cool.
I just really wanted him to do that like eye bug out thing that his dad did.
He's very careful not to do that because like, he's seen Total Recall and he knows.
When he popped up early like in the bathroom and he's sitting in the tub, I was like, get to the shower.
What's interesting about that is was Terminator Schwarzenegger's first movie?
No, not technically not. There was What the fuck is it called?
It was his first feature role.
Well, he had Pumping Iron, then he had Hercules in New York.
So my point was going to be...
he's coming all the time.
Yeah.
It's interesting that both him and his son, their entry point into, like, Hollywood, so to speak, is, like, a small horror film.
Yeah.
Because...
I mean, that's most people's entry point in Hollywood. Because
Fight Me, Terminator is a motherfucking...
all the Roger
is a motherfucking horror movie.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how people can argue that it's not.
Because it's a robot, dude.
Well, and then Conan the Barbarian, which is like, it definitely has its share of horror stuff.
Yeah.
It fucking has a lot of it. It really does.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, I like that he's not a fucking, he didn't use his clout to get into some big budget.
That's what I mean. I really like I agree with you. It's not nepotism, you know? He didn't get into some big budget thing. He's not like, oh, I got to be buff like my dad. He's like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
We're going full Skarsgård on
this. He did a bunch of shit before he did Terminator.
Yeah.
He did, like, in Hercules in New York, it under the name Arnold Strong.
That's hella tight.
Yeah. He did that. He did The Long Goodbye, Stay Hungry, Pumping Iron, which is great.
So those are all, like, I mean...
He did a bunch of stuff before he did Terminator. But Terminator was, I think, like... Well, he even did Conan the Barbarian before Terminator.
Well, okay, well, maybe I'm fucking retarded.
Well...
But still, Terminator was, like, his best movie.
And Conan the Barbarian would have been it were it not for Terminator. Because James Cameron realized, you know, he'd have him talk very little and have him do physical acting.
Yeah.
You know?
Kick things' asses.
And he's like, the guy's not just buff, he's charismatic.
Yeah.
Which is a different thing entirely. You either have that or you fucking don't. And that's this Patrick kid, like, he is charismatic.
Dude, yeah. If you watch Pumping Iron, you can see how charismatic he is.
Yep.
Which is hella tight.
Whereas fucking Lou Ferrigno can suck a dick.
I mean.
You hear me, Lou? I see you at fucking Comic-Con.
That's a hot take.
Rhett's like, I'll outlift you, bro.
I saw you, and you know what? I'll be honest. I'm fucking terrified, man. Like, he's way fucking, way bigger than I thought. Have you seen him at Comic-Con?
Yeah.
He's charging like 30 fucking, this was years ago, too. This is like $30 per picture.
Dude, Ric Flair was charging like 50 or 60 this year. I'm like, I don't care enough. I'll just click. There you go.
Yeah. Good enough.
That's hella tight.
I also think Adam Egypt Mortimer, like the director, he may be on the I'm eager to see what he does next, because
I hear he's gonna do a rape revenge period piece.
Nah,
good, that's how you get the clout you need, that's how you get the respect.
Yeah.
But
he actually probably already did a rape revenge film. It's
well, and that's the thing, I spoke with him about that film, Some Kind of Hate.
Oh, I've seen that movie, it's actually pretty good.
Well, and he said that they had wanted to do Daniel Isn't Real for a while, but they had to do something that was a little cheaper to do to get their foot in the door.
Yeah.
So this is possible because of that movie, and then this movie will make something else possible. And I think it's a step in the right direction, because it's getting it's getting some attention. It's on Shudder. Got a good cast.
Is it on Shudder yet?
It came in, wait, that's a good question.
I think it's in theaters now, and it's coming to Shudder soon.
You're right, yeah.
But I think you can...
December 6th, it opened in limited release.
Yeah, I think you can also get it on iTunes and
Adam Amazon. Egypt Mortimer also did the New Year's Eve segment on Holidays.
I don't remember which one that was.
I didn't watch that movie.
It's not bad.
And he also has a graphic novel. It's really fucking cool.
Yeah, Daniel Isn't Real is on Amazon right now. $6.99.
Yeah. So, you know.
I think well worth it at that price. I mean, I would pay $7 to watch it if you haven't seen it already. I mean.
It's definitely worth a watch. I don't know about a rewatch.
As far as this is, it's worth noting, I think, too, it's Spectre Vision, which is the same production company that did Mandy.
Elijah Wood, dude. Just killing it.
And also Color Out of Space, which is coming out soon. That whole, like, kind of cosmic horror.
We're doing that soon, right?
Yeah, I would say probably a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, gotta call Chris.
Oh, that means we got Black Christmas and then Color Out of Space or
Frankenstein.
Yeah, Chris Frankenstein.
Chris Franco.
So what does that mean? Speaking of which, after that, then we'd do our year end episode, right?
First episode of the new year will probably be the year wrap up,
the year and decade wrap up,
and then we'll have The Grudge. Hey, look at that! We got like 4 episodes planned.
Yeah, sorta. We'll probably change it halfway. Yeah. You know, halfway
well,
to
think
next
it's
week.
Jelly.
Yeah, so 50%. Take your pick.
Why don't we do Little Women on one of these episodes?
Oh yeah, good call.
Thanks.
Fried green tomatoes. Next episode.
Tomatillos.
That's right.
Fried tomatillos.
They should just do a Spanish version of fried green tomatoes.
They do barbecue a guy to get rid of his body and fried green tomatoes. They would probably be called
tomatillos empanizados. There you go. All right, well, that's the Who Goes Her podcast for Daniel Isn't Real. I mean, if you haven't watched it already and it still sounds like fun to you, go check it out. We
probably spoiled the fuck out of it.
Yeah, we definitely did.
You still can watch
it. It's still fun, though. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's
ups and downs.
There's stuff with the mother that we haven't talked about, really. There's, you know, the relationship with his girlfriend, which is, you know, super adorable and I think really works. Works well.
And on that that list of films that inspired him, the first one mentioned that I actually noticed a big influence of was Jacob's Ladder. Like a lot of the kind of like traumatic flashback scenes and like editing, the monster scenes.
You know what? I agree.
It was the feel of Jacob's Ladder.
The feel of it, the tone of it. Yeah.
And Exorcist is not on this list.
So it's a pretty, it's a very good, you know, the thing they have in common there is PTSD.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, yeah, that's a specific editing.
Watership Down too, which is weird.
Aww. Watership Down, I could see that.
That movie's kind of fucked up for being a kids movie.
Oh, it's not. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but it's not.
But it's an animation, and back in the day, that used to equate. And we're getting away from that slowly, but it's still a prejudice.
All right, idiots. That's it for episode 270,000. We'll see you next week when we talk about. What is it?
We're going to do Black Christmas. And let's do a Patreon for One Cut of the Dead because we're behind on that. We got to do One Cut of the Dead.
We got two Patreons coming up, One Cut of the Dead and Face Off.
Oh, God, Face Off. Ew. I can't wait for Face Off. I'm so excited to talk about it.
We should get off our faces.
You wouldn't. You don't dare.
What if you act like me and I'll act like you and George can act like...
What, so you'll get way too stoned?
Oh my God.
I'll be stone sober.
Do it just for the first like 10-15 minutes of. Well,
I'll just, you know what? I'll just be Ollie. I'll fall asleep for 5 minutes, fucking pop up every little bit and be like, you guys are fucking dumb.
We could just be like that scene from Step Brothers where they're sleepwalking. We'll all pretend we're Ollie. We'll just say random. Groggily say random things.
All right, dummies. Well, that's it. Episode 240 in the bag. We'll see you next week. Bye, idiots.
Night.
I'm not gonna worry, wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.